Our scripture reading today is from Mark 9, 14 through 29. Jesus heals a boy possessed by an impure spirit. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing about with them?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. They brought him the boy. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "anything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my disbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "This can come out only by prayer." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Oh, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? You know, if asked, I think most of us would say, in general, Jesus was a patient person. Not sure I see it in that quote. I'm sure I'm feeling the patience right now. You know, doubt is what we tend to do as people. I mean, was he really that surprised by what he saw and by what happened? You know, at different times in life, we may doubt God exists. We may doubt God gets involved if he does exist. We have terminology for people who just really adopt those stances hard and fast. And those terms are atheist and agnostic. Atheist says God doesn't exist. Agnostic says that God exists, but you can never really know anything about God, so why try so hard? Why even bother? The Pew Research Center put out some statistical information about 10 years ago, showed atheism, agnosticism are on the rise in America. But along with those numbers, an even faster group rising than them, because they were just slowly rising, is this group they call the nones. Not the nuns, right? They were the hats and the Catholic. This is N-O-N-S, the nones. Pew Research counted some 46 million Americans who saw themselves as these nones who are spiritual but not religious or affiliated with any church or religious group. And so of that 46 million, two-thirds of that number said they did believe in God. 58% said they felt a deep connection to nature and earth. 21% said that they pray every day. They pray. 20%, that's pretty good. But most said they weren't looking for a religion that was right for them. They weren't looking for a church service. They weren't looking for a religion. They weren't looking for anything. They felt pretty good with what they were not doing on Sunday morning and what they believed. So that was 10 years ago. Then COVID happened. You guys remember that? Wow, that was a blast, right? Most of the numbers I've seen has said that 20% of people left churches after COVID. We lost 20% of our numbers in the United States of America. And they haven't come back. 20% hasn't come back. And so some of those may be online watching, and we're glad you're watching if you're watching. We're so glad you're connected in that way. But many aren't even watching. Many aren't doing anything. Marcia Molly, the Rickmans, and I, we went to the Church Resurrection Leadership Institute a couple weeks ago. Had a great time. It was a good event. One of the speakers talked about the people that we lost in our churches. And a lot of the statistics say they were kind of fringe attenders. Fringe attenders. What does that mean? Well, that means that they generally came maybe once, maybe twice a month, but really weren't involved in many other aspects of church life, you know, kind of fringe attenders. So let me pause and ask a question now. You don't need to answer out loud. You don't just kind of ponder this in your head and your heart. How do you feel about all that? How do you feel about all that? As you listen to me share those statistics, did that scare you? Were you like, oh my gosh, what's happening to our nation? What's happening to our churches? Did you feel angry? How could they not believe? How could they not want to be here? Did you feel sad? Did you feel some sense of grief for people? Maybe you didn't feel anything at all. Maybe just like, yeah, okay, yep. Come on, Pastor Jim, get with it. Do you not know this? Did you maybe think of some people when I shared those statistics? Did you think of people who maybe used to attend here, but now they don't attend anymore? Did you think of maybe some children or some grandchildren or some friends? Church, I challenge us all to not feel just completely surprised or overwhelmed by doubt. Don't be surprised or overwhelmed by doubt. Doubt in God, doubt in organized religion, doubt in church and people that don't attend church. It is becoming more commonplace within our nation. And don't be surprised or overwhelmed when maybe you experience doubt. When you have moments of doubt. Because here's the deal. There is no faithful decision that is made without first experiencing doubt. Right? It can refine our faith in many ways. So doubt, it's not the end of something. It may seem like the end of something. You may have some family members, some friends. It kind of seems like the end with the doubt that they're experiencing. But actually, doubt's a part of the journey towards greater faith. The greatest thing that could happen to a church is that doubters would begin to show up and share their doubts. And if that ever happens here, if we could ever be known in this community as the kind of church where people feel safe doing that, I want you to be careful to try and be kind when people do this. Try not to get angry at the fact that they kind of doubt some things. And don't just dismiss them. Don't tell them, well, maybe you're in the wrong place today. If you've got all these doubts, maybe you're in the wrong place. Try not to argue with them too much. Like, you know, sometimes we have this sense of, well, I can prove it. Let's have an argument. I'm going to prove it to you, right? And for, you know, some people, that is what they want. Most people, it's not, right? But the good news is they showed up. They showed up to church. They maybe came to your Sunday school class, to your small group, to your ministry. Like, they showed up. Isn't that interesting that they showed up? Church doubt is prevalent in our culture. It's happening. It's probably always happened. Doubt's a part of our nature. It happens inside the church. It happens outside the church. And I want you to know that sometimes, it's going to sound weird, sometimes doubt is an intimate thing. It's a vulnerability. It's a deep honesty when somebody shares their doubt with you. And we all experience it at some level in our own lives. Like, we all have moments of our own where we have this momentary doubt. So I want to take our scripture passage now. I want to walk you through how to help someone
maybe even how to help yourself, move from a place of doubt to a place of belief and faith. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to move people from a place of doubt and fear to a place of trust and belief. And we are his followers, we are his church, and so his purposes are our purposes, right? Isn't that right? His purposes are our purposes. So the first thing you need to do to help people move from a place of doubt to a place of belief and trust is to recognize the spirit or the spirits that possess them. Verse 17 says, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." You know, we all have these feelings and these thoughts and these experiences that possess us and do not leave. And so I'm not talking about the literal kind of demonic type that is present in this story, but these other things that possess us, feelings, thoughts, experiences, and these things tend to change us from the inside out. And for some people, disbelief is intellectual. For some people, it's like, well, it doesn't make sense. God doesn't make sense. I can't reason. But what you need to understand is that for a lot of people, for most people, I would say it's not intellectual. It's something else. It's something else entirely. When I was in college, I met a guy. He was a professed atheist friend of mine who I kept in touch with regularly. One day he opened up to me about why he was an atheist, like why he just couldn't believe. He said that when he was a boy, his dad died in a farming accident, and they lived on a farm together. And they were Catholic, Christian. They were Christian. So the priest came over, talked to him after this tragic death about what had happened to his father, I think trying to console this young man, trying to help. And the priest told him that none of us can know why God takes who he takes, when he takes him. It was just simply his dad's time to go. And so the Lord took him. Now, as a boy, all he could think about was why God would have his dad killed and leave him without a father. Leave him fatherless. And he said to me, he said, "Jim," he said, "I don't believe in God, but if there is a God, when I die and I meet him, I'm going to jack him right in the face." I kid you not. Like, he was serious. I'm going to beat God down for what he did to me. So the first thing I want to encourage you all to never do is to tell someone who's just lost a loved one, "Look, God just takes who he takes, when he takes. It's just, you know, you can't ever know. That's just up to God, just how it is." Secondly, more relevant to our topic, doubt and disbelief isn't always an intellectual response. Most of the time, it's about something else that possesses us. It's about something else that really hurts, that hasn't healed. It's about sadness. It's about loneliness. It's about being left alone. So when you hear that someone doubts or doubts that God is loving, or you're experiencing those issues of, "I don't know, and I don't know if he's loving, I don't know if he cares," keep asking questions. Keep asking questions. Find out what else is possessing that person. Can I ask maybe what else is possessing you? What else have you experienced that you're struggling with? I'd encourage you guys to be good listeners when you hear these things. Be good listeners. Don't feel like you need to fix. Don't feel like you need to necessarily defend in that moment. You can't solve someone else's doubt problem, but you can help them by not responding in anger or judgment, and by asking questions, by listening, what else is going on? What else is going on? The second thing you can do, this one might take a little bit more courage, might be a little harder. Second thing you can do is you can pray with them. You can pray with them. In our scripture passage, the father of the possessed son is I would say maybe a little angry at the disciples. A little angry. After all, he brought his son to them. What did they accomplish? Nothing. They accomplished nothing. But then Jesus, he gets a hold of this boy, of this young man, and he commands the spirit to leave. And the spirit, you know, puts up a fight, but boof, is gone. And so later the disciples, they pull Jesus aside privately. They're like, okay, we obviously didn't do something right. You did. Do you mind sharing with us what you did that we were unable to do so if this happens again, we're not so embarrassed? Jesus says, well, this spirit, he's a tough booger. He's a tough booger. And you know what? Tough boogers, they only come out through prayer. You got to pray those bad boys out. That's what he did. And it's true. Prayer helps doubt and disbelief. It helps. Whether, like, it's your own doubt and disbelief, whether it's somebody else's doubt and disbelief. Especially when someone is possessed by something. If you're possessed by hurt or anger or sadness. You know, it's very interesting. In history, a name that we have often referred to as God, you know, the church has given God this name, and we really get it from kind of Luke. We give Luke, the gospel writer, kind of the same name, and God this name, and that is the great physician. God is the great physician, and the great physician has given us all as his followers, like we're his nurses. We're the doctor's nurses. Congratulations, you've been promoted. Didn't even know it. You're his nurses, and the great physician has given us something to battle all types of sicknesses. He's given us a medicine to fight all types of sicknesses. And that prescription is prayer. It's prayer. And we must not underutilize this great medicine that we have been given. Today we have medicines, we take them, you know, a lot of us, you, me, we took our pills before we came in this morning, right? Get our pills. But there are also some medicines that we inject. You know, if you're diabetic, right? You know about those medicines that you inject on a regular basis. And the quickest, the most powerful way to get medicine is through the injection. There are times in your life where you've gone to the doctor and you've said, please give me the injection. Don't send me out to go get prescriptions. Plug that sucker right in. All right? I want to feel better now. You know, when we pray for someone, we lift them up in daily prayers. Marcia said, take your bulletin home, pray over these people, right? Like that's like that pill form, right? We are praying, and that is good medicine. That does good work. The church needs that. Friends, when you pray over someone, in person, it's like the injection of prayer, right? You're laying on hands. You're praying over them. It's powerful. Praying over someone, it's a good gift and it's medicine for the body of Christ. And so if someone tells you that they're struggling with doubt and you've talked to them and you've find out what is possessing them, and I would then encourage you to say, could I just pray with you about this? Could I pray for you right now? Prayer over those doubts, those fears, like you're asking for the mighty hand of God to come and to help and to be present, and your hand represents his hand. So I would encourage you all, I hope you're doing this in your Sunday school classes. Sunday school is a great opportunity to do this. In your small groups, in the different ministries that you're a part of, I hope you're stopping and you're praying over people, because church, when we refuse to do this, if we say, Pastor, that's really for the experts, you and Marcia and some of the few others that maybe have been trained, when we take that stance, then we're like the disciples who were unable to cast out the spirits from the boy, because there are just some things you've got to pray them out. Every Sunday morning, here's what y'all need to know. Every Sunday morning, and it really starts for me Saturday night, I experience bouts of my own disbelief and fear. I do. And I know it needs to get prayed out of me. And so I go to Marcia. Or Marcia comes and finds me, and every Sunday, you know, we pray together, and Marcia prays over me and prays for me. And then I go up and I go to the AV team, right? I go up there and we go over the order of worship and talk about the mics and anything happening. And then we pray together and I pray over them. And then Eric's up there leading the charge. And so Eric will pray for me. And he prays over me, you know, to help. Because I need a faith injection. And we all do. Friends, we can't do faith work without prayer work. They go hand in hand. And so church, do the work, because the work is vital. So if we do the work, if we really listen for what is at the root of doubt and disbelief, we're asking good questions, and then we pray over people, and we're asking the power of God, the great physician, to heal our disbelief and to be present with us, then last, I mean, I think there's something that happens. And what happens is we'll be overwhelmed with wonder by the awesome love of Jesus Christ. I got to go back to the very beginning of the story, the second verse of the story that was read. You go to verse 15. Verse 15, the very beginning of the story, says, as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder, and they ran to greet him. These people had seen Jesus perform miracles. They had heard both the power and the gentleness of his teaching, and they ran to see him. They ran to hear from him. They ran to receive his touch. And these are the things that build up belief and that cast doubt out from us. It is these things. And so church, Jesus is present here with us today. He's present here. And so I want you to stop just for a moment and feel his great love for you resonating throughout this sanctuary. It is the heartbeat of this sanctuary this morning. Breathe in his mercy that is available to you today. It's a mercy forged of Christ and the thousands, if not millions, of saints who have come before us. Breathe in his mercy. Receive the hope and the joy that comes by faith. The gift of God for the people of God, that you will never be alone. You're never alone because of his love and his care for you. Church, in this moment, be renewed in your faith through a fresh indwelling of the Holy Spirit today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon your people. Fill us with your grace and your joy and your peace. Worship Jesus the Christ out of your awe and your wonder. Run to him and be filled with belief. My favorite passage in our lesson today, and I'll end with this. I'll end with this because this is the thing that just, whenever I read this passage, it's what hits me over and over and over again. Jesus asked the boy's father. Jesus says to him, look, your son, how long has he been like this? Mute and deaf and throwing himself into fires and trying to kill himself, drowning himself. What? How long has this been going on? And the father says, well, from childhood. He's often thrown himself into fire and water and done all these things. And then the father says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, take pity on us. Help us. Jesus is like, if I can, Father, everything is possible for the one who believes. Everything. And here it comes. Most insightful, vulnerable, honest verse of all. I love how it happens. Immediately, the boy's father says, right, just impulsively, he says, I do believe. But help me overcome my disbelief. Yeah? Help me overcome my disbelief, my unbelief. Well, which is it, Dad? Which is it, Dad? Do you believe or do you need help overcoming your unbelief? Which is it? Church, truth is, he needed some help. He needed some help. He didn't want to admit it. He was proud. He came. But really, if he was honest, he had some disbelief. So this morning, which is it for you? Which is it for you? Can you be honest today before God, before one another? Do you believe or do you need some help with your disbelief? If you need help today, we're going to have a moment of silence. I'm just going to create some space for you today. We all need some space every once in a while. This is a moment for you to pray and to just get real about those doubts. Just give those doubts to God. Let him minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit come and minister to you. It's okay. That's how doubt fits, right? I mean, it fits. We struggle with it, but it fits because doubt brings us to the only one who can cast doubt out from us. That's how it fits. Can we stand together for this? Would you mind standing right now as we close in prayer? Let's stand together. Let's just take a moment. I'm just going to give you a moment of silence. Just pray what's in your heart and what you're feeling. And friends, disbelief, sometimes it's other areas in our life. We're just not sure God's going to come through. That's an area of disbelief. And so let's just take a moment of silence. Bring your doubts before God in your heart and your mind in this time. Heavenly Father, I believe. Help me in my disbelief. Help me in those areas that I struggle with. Help me those things that keep me up at night. Those insecurities and fears that creep in. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I hope there were some real honest confessions out there this morning. God, you are so good. That when your children, when we come to you and we're just kind of honest, we're kind of vulnerable, you don't yell at us, you don't condemn us. I think sometimes you, like Jesus, you get a little bit like, oh, you unbelieving generation. And yet, though, here you are. And so, Lord, would you minister to our hearts? Come, Holy Spirit. Be with us. Lord, help build up in each heart in this room in our church belief. Because greater things are waiting for us in life for those that believe. Lord, help us to be mountain movers. Lord Jesus, minister to us in this time. Breathe into your children. Fill us with your belief and your strength, your steadfast love. Lord Jesus, help us. It's in your Son's name we pray.